Hey guys, welcome to the channel. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, our mission at Faith is to lead people to Jesus and elevate their faith. I trust that today's sermon would strengthen your faith in God and elevate your confidence for the impossible. God bless you. Let's get into it.
We're in Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready? Amen. Who's excited for this word this morning? And this word is called persecuted but prosperous. Persecuted but prosperous. Acts 8 verse 1. And it says, now Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great what? All right, stick with me. A great what? A great what? Now, not a baby persecution, but what kind of persecution? Great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered. They were what? They were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles too. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Verse 3. As for Saul, he made what? He made what? He made havoc. Strong word. Of the church. Entering every house. And look at this. Look what he's doing. He's not asking you to come. Only she didn't come. But if I grab her here, she's going to be with me. Right? But he dragged them off. Dragging off men? No, that was all right. But they didn't stop there. Dragging off who? Men and women. No one was excused. Dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you're going to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that today will be life-changing. This word will impact us in a way, oh God, that will transform our minds and liberate us from any and every bondage that seek to possess the people of God. I pray we'll have a prosperous mindset, a can-do mindset, knowing that if God is for us, no one can be against us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. So this chapter opens up with Saul consenting to his death. Now that's a strange way to open a chapter. But if you read the chapter before, you would see that Stephen, who was a deacon in the church, was stoned to death. He was stoned to death. Imagine being brought to the town square and being stoned to death. Imagine one stone hit you, go, ouch. But imagine two and three and four and five and hundreds and maybe even thousands and not hitting you on your chest. Hitting you on your chest, hitting you on your eyes, hitting you on your nose, hitting you on your ears, hitting you at the back of your head, hitting you on your temple, hitting you on your forehead, hitting you in the parts that hurt the most. But all of this was done because men followed Jesus. All of this was done because men were committed to the cause of the gospel. All of this was done because men had an encounter with the living Christ. Because John said, we have seen him. And we have touched him. We have handled him for ourselves. So what we are speaking to you, it's not what we have fabricated in our minds or read from a book. It is what we have encountered. So now Stephen, one of the seven deacons that were chosen back in early in the book of Acts, he was stoned to death. But this chapter opens up and it says, Saul was consenting to his death, or Saul wholeheartedly supported his death. And who is Saul? Now, we all know Paul. We all know Paul, the one that wrote what? Maybe 13 epistles and brought the revelation of grace to the church and took the gospel to the Gentiles all over the world. But before the man was Paul, the man was Saul. The man was a murderer. The man was the one who was in charge of the dragging. He sent the draggers out. Today we got drags out. That's a different story. But they were dragging way before, but they were dragging in a different light. Half the church missed the joke. We're tired of time. Because your minds are in the right place. Pastor Sam's a little messed up. Wholeheartedly, he supported it. Imagine supporting someone being stoned. How cold you must be on the inside. It's almost as if you're heartless because that's someone's child. That's someone's son. That's someone's brother. That's someone's cousin. Someone's grandchild. And you're putting them out to be stoned. But what we have to understand is the background of Paul. Why they were doing what they were doing. Paul was what we call a religious fanatic. His goal was to preserve his religion. So he was willing to go to any extent to preserve that religion. He wanted to maintain Jewish life in Jerusalem. And here were these men that were coming with this gospel that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Well, they came with the gospel that says, repent and be baptized for the remission or the erasing of your sins. But they weren't taught that. They were taught the law. They were taught the five books of the Bible, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, that was precious to them. Then they had the prophets, which we read all through the Old Testament. So his goal was to preserve that lifestyle, that way of life. Who was Paul? Paul was a Pharisee. He was a leader. He was a religious leader. And he was not just a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisee, meaning he was a cut above the rest. He was one that was well-learned, well-studied, and he knew the word of God. So he said, there is no way that I am going to allow these men to come and break up what God has established from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, oh my God, Noah, all the great men, Elijah, Elisha. No one can do away with what was set up. But what he didn't know, that Jesus was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He was the one, when God saw man's sin, he slayed a lamb in the garden to cover sin. And he said to the devil, oh God, you might bruise now, crush now, but there was one that's going to come that's going to what? You might bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. He's going to crush your head. And the crushing of the head is not as physical as we think, but it is spiritual. Because whenever someone gets delivered from sin and gets born again, the devil gets a crushing. Every time someone says yes to Jesus, the devil gets another crush. He gets another crush. So when you got saved, the devil got crushed. When you got saved, the devil got crushed. When your family members are going to get saved, he's going to get another crushing. So Paul said, we got to stop this thing. And he set up men. And he set them to go and to grab people out of their homes. And pull them away. Separate them from their family. And this was not no baby persecution. Like, oh, you got saved and nobody wants to talk to you. Sometimes we say, oh, pastor, I'm persecuted. How are you persecuted? Oh, I want to go to church and my husband don't want me to go to church. We call that persecution. Oh, I got saved and my friends don't talk to me anymore. Persecution. No, that's not persecution. That might be just a little discomfort. But in this situation, men were being beheaded. I said men were being beheaded. This gospel that we have It took the blood of Jesus to initiate it. But all through history, men and women have died. I said men and women have died and are still dying. Go and read Fox's Book of Martyrs and you would see so many men. You think the 1400, 1500, and 1600 was easy to live through? No. If you had a Bible, they would kill you. We know, I think it's William Tyndale. We know, we read the Tyndale Bibles today, but it got the name from a man that was beheaded. All because he wanted to translate the Bible from German to English so that people in England could have read the Word of God. Because what men know are the powers that be know. The moment you know what God says about you, the moment you can read the Bible for yourself and you find out that God loves you, it puts a dagger in the agenda of man. Well, they use the Bible to put people in slavery, but that's because the people never read the Bible and found out that God loved them. But the moment you get the Word of God and you see yourself in the Word and you say, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches, you realize that you don't have to be in poverty no more. When you know and you see that no weapon formed against you shall prosper, you know that no matter what the enemy throws against you, God will stand up for you. You know that God has given you an armor. You got a breastplate. You got a, oh my God, you got the shield of faith. And it quenches the fiery darts of the enemy. So whatever the enemy does, the shield goes up and it got to bounce off. So that's why it's important for us to get this word. But it took the lives of many for us to have it. It took sacrifice. It took people being persecuted. But I want to tell you, the God we serve specializes in turning things around. I said he specialized when the enemy think he's going to wipe us out. God is just getting ready to move at the greatest level. Whenever persecution hits the church, even today, if we're ever persecuted, we better use it as a signal that a revival is about to break out. Whenever the governments of the world seek to persecute the church grows even greater. Right now in China, I think they have the number one growing church in the world. Because since the communist government took over, I think it was in the 70s, that the underground church just spread around. They don't even know how many Christians are in China. I went to a conference this week down in Texas, in Fort Worth, and I saw this little Chinese man. He walked all the way from the top. How I know he was on the top? When I saw on the screen, you know, the camera's pad, I saw him at the top. Next thing I saw the man down in the front, a little skinny Chinese man. And he's just there jumping, praising God, worshiping God. He's not praising God like this. He's praising God like this nonstop, all the time, just like that. Because he found the joy of the Lord. He found the joy of the Lord. He found the one that liberated him, that set him free, that changed the story of his life. I want to tell you, the Bible says we ought to worship the Lord with all of our strength. It said, worship God with your strength. Love the Lord thy God with all your might. So when you come into the house of God, save your makeup for another day. But praise God. Break a sweat. Break a sweat, man. Give God your energy. Give him your all. Don't look around and worship. Look up and worship. I said, don't look around and worship. Look up. The Bible says, now looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. My God, despising the shame. He didn't look at what was going to be the result, what people going to say about him, how they're going to persecute him, how they're going to beat him, how they're going to pluck his beard, how they're going to slap him, how they're going to cuss him. But he saw you and he went to the cross. He saw me and he went to the cross. He saw your generations afar off and he went to the cross. So it's time that we worship him for who he is. It's time for us to praise God for who he is. It's time for us to acknowledge what God has done. Acknowledge what he has done. Don't only say, oh, I got money, God is good. No, you realize you got a salvation that money couldn't buy. You got a peace that gold couldn't buy. My God, you got a joy that diamonds and rubies couldn't give you. My God, you got a joy unspeakable that is full of glory. It is packed with power. The joy that you got, it is packed with power and anointing and with fire. It got glory in it, so you can expect the unexpectable. Tell somebody, persecuted but prosperous. Tell somebody, persecuted but prosperous. I'm going to prosper in every situation. I'm going to break out on the right and break out on the left. Because my prosperity does not depend on my persecutors, but it depends on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they were scattered now. Not only were they persecuted, dragged in prison, but they were what? Scattered. We know the nice story in Acts chapter 2. And the Bible says God continued to add daily to the church. And they had all things common and things were going good. And even when trouble came up in the church, they got the 7 deacons. They put them in place so that no, the Hellenists are not looked over. Everybody's being cared for. All the widows are happy. They're satisfied. They're getting their daily distribution of food. But the Bible says now here, the persecution was so hot. It was so fierce. So now, Sister Jane and Sister Abby used to get together and praise and worship God. But now persecution hit, they got scattered. Just imagine, some people probably got separated from their families. Cousins were separated. Brothers were separated. Because what? Persecution. Because they feared for their lives. They thought they were going to be killed. They thought that they were going to be imprisoned. And they were going to be locked up because there was no fair trial. Hello? I said there was no fair trial. So when they go into the system, they got to believe God for deliverance. So the Bible says they were scattered. They were scattered. But the result of their scattered was amazing. It didn't say that they got scattered and they caved. They got scattered and they hid. They scattered and they went on to different professions. I know pastors, when things get hard, they give up on the church. I know people, when life deals them not what they expect, they give up preaching the gospel. They say, maybe this is too much for me. I can't deal with this. I love my family. I tell you, Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power. It is the power of God, or it is what delivers man from the grips of the devil and the grips of hell. It is the power of God unto rescue, salvation, deliverance, brings man into liberty. So I cannot but preach this gospel. I cannot stop telling you about Jesus. I cannot stop telling you about the lover of my soul. I cannot stop telling you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And they said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a preacher? So if we stop preaching, if you stop preaching, what's going to happen? It says they were scattered. And what they did, they went everywhere preaching. Let's put that scripture up. They went everywhere preaching. They did not give up. They did not cave into the system. But they went, it says in verse 4, therefore, those who were what? Scattered. Those who were what? Scattered. Not those who were comfortable. Not those who had a nice suit. Not those who had their hair well done. Oh, I can't go on stage today, Pastor, because my hair is not done. Oh, I can't come tonight because I got to go do this. I got to go do that. I got to fix this. I got to look a certain way. No, no, no. It says they were scattered, meaning they were in trouble. They were not foreigners and strangers. They were not comfortable. Hello? They were not comfortable, but they were scattered. They had to left maybe the little tent that they owned, the little mud house that they were able to build at that time. They built, but they had to leave it. They had to pack up and go. But it says, those who were scattered went everywhere. What?
Preaching.
What they did? I want to tell you, when we get scattered from this room this afternoon, it is an occasion for you to go and preach. When you walk out these doors today and you hear this word, knowing that you're prospering because God is on the inside of you, you are filled with the Spirit of God. Those who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. When you walk out these doors, take a card and look for somebody and say, God loves you. Jesus loves you. God is calling you. Come to Jesus. He died for your sins to make a way for you. Do not be quiet. Because you know you got ministry in you. Because the moment you got saved, you receive ministry. The Bible says all of us have been given the ministry of what? Reconciliation. God has put something within us that creates a passion to draw others to him. If you're saved and you don't want people to get saved, I tell you to ask Jesus to save you again. I say, cry out to Jesus and say, Lord, give me a revelation of who you are. Wake me up from my sleep. Wake me up from my slumber. Wake me up from my comfort zone. You're not prospering. No, no, no. You might got money, but Jesus might look at you and say, oh, you naked. You what? There's that scripture where he said to the church in the book of Revelation, you are wretched and naked. There is so much for us to do, church. There is so many people that are lost. So many people that are going to hell. So many people that are broken that needs deliverance. How are they going to get it? You and I have to tell them. You and I have to have a can-do mindset. You got to have a mindset. The Bible says after they put in the seven deacons, the word of God, what? Increased. Meaning the more people that gets on board with the work of God, the word of God will increase and have greater impact on people's heart. And the Bible said the Lord added daily to the church because the word increased. You know how the word increased? When you begin talking about Jesus. And you begin talking about Jesus. And you talk about Jesus. And you talk about Jesus. And you talk about Jesus. Who is the living word? My God. Joel, God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. So when you talk about Jesus, it causes the fame of the Lord to increase. It causes the fame of God. The Bible says, and his fame was spread abroad. You and I are to carry the fame of Jesus. We're not to carry our own fame. We're not to carry our own name. But we are to carry the name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, what? Every knee shall what? Bow. It comes a time where we need to see more knees bowing. We need to get desperate to see people's knees bow. Because when they bow, that's when they start to live. When they bow, that's when God pick you up. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And what he's going to do, he's going to lift you up. So they went everywhere and they were preaching. And they were declaring the word of God. And they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And they were telling people about Jesus. They were telling, you know, as I was thinking about this last night, I thought about the Azusa Street Revival. That revival took place in about 1904 or something like that in Azusa Street, California. And it started in a little house. It was a feed shop. Let me break it down. It was a feed shop. They took a feed shop and they turned it into a place of Holy Ghost encounter. and people came from all over the world because the glory of God drew them there. The church had hit a cold spot. Prior to the Azusa Street revival, the church had gotten cold. Because what? The church followed man's way. The church followed man's systems. The church did it man's way. How man say you ought to do, that's what people did. And people were not encountering God for themselves. So they were going to church, but they were not transformed. They were going to church, and they were not living spirit-filled lives. So there was a little man by the name of Mr. Pastor Seymour. And he was a one-eyed black man. He didn't look very handsome. He looked kind of freaky. Imagine me up here at one eye. It wouldn't look really cool. But the man had a fire within him. The man had an encounter with the Holy Ghost. And people didn't go to him, number one, because he was black. They didn't like him. But my God, what was in him now became a magnet. And it drew people from all over the world. People came from Canada. They came from all over America. And they went to Azusa Street because they heard of miracles. They heard of signs and wonders. They heard that people were speaking in tongues. Because Dr. Seymour was put out of churches because he spoke in tongues. Today we speak in tongues freely. I want to tell you, cherish it. Somebody paid a price for it. I said, cherish it. Somebody paid a price for it. I said, cherish it. Somebody paid a price. Hunger for it. Thirst for it. The Bible said, they that hunger and thirst, they shall be what? They shall be filled. So at the Azusa Street Revival, people came from all over. And that became a launching pad. It lasted for only a few years. But it became a launching pad where after the Azusa Street encounter, people were dispersed all over the world. Some said, God called me to China. They went. They left everything. They went to China. Some said, God is calling me to Africa. They went to Africa. Some said, God is calling me to the Caribbean. They just felt it in their spirits. And they packed up their families. That's how missionaries went all over the world. This was not the Church of England now sending out missionaries. No, these were men and women that picked themselves up and says, God is saying this and we are going there. And they went and they preached the gospel all over the world. And that's how churches raise up all over the world where men and women are filled with the Holy Spirit. Men and women are filled with the fire and they have the complete encounter of what Peter spoke about. He said, this is for you. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, this is for you, it is for your family, and it's for those who are afar off. I want to tell you, when you walk out this room today, go and tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Go and tell somebody that God has more for you. Challenge even your spouse and say, come up to another level. Challenge your children and say, come up to another level. I want to tell you, it's enough is enough with us leaving our children behind. Listen to me. We leave our kids behind and we come to church. Don't leave your kids at home. When you walk out the house, they're on devices. You don't know what they're looking at. You don't know who they're listening to. You don't know what's filling their minds. And all of a sudden, they start to act funny and you wonder why. It's because faith comes by hearing, and also fear comes by hearing, and cussing comes by hearing, and all types of bad behavior comes by hearing. Bring them to the house of God. It don't matter if they're 1 month, 2 month, 3 month, 4 month, or they're 16. Say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We don't know everything, but we're going to learn when we go down to the church. I don't know to pray now, but I'm going to learn when I get around some praying people. I don't know the word now, but I'm going to join discipleship class, and I'm going to know the word of God. So don't watch me now. Watch me later. So they were scattered and they began to preach all over wherever they went. Some went to Judea, some went down to Samaria. But there was one man by the name of Philip. And I want us to look what God used Philip to do. Now Philip, same chapter, Acts chapter 8, let's go down to verse 5. Hallelujah. Glory, okay, there we go. And it says, then Philip went down to the city of where? Samaria. You know, last week we actually spoke about Samaria, where Elisha prophesied. That was in Samaria, where he spoke at the gate of Samaria. And he said that the miracle will happen where barley and flour will sell really cheap the next day. So now we're seeing Philip is here. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. And what did he do when he got there? He preached Christ to them. He didn't sit down and say, oh boy, you know what? I'm going to build a family. I'm going to get married now and I'm going to have some kids here. No, he began preaching. We know Philip had kids because he had like three daughters and those girls could prophesy. Right? Those girls were all prophets. But when he got down there, he got busy doing the work of God. I want to tell you, get busy doing the work of God. Use what you have. Begin right where you are. Then look here now. Look at the result. If he didn't preach, this wouldn't happen. And the multitudes with one accord, what they did? Heeded the things spoken by Philip. Now, who was Philip? Philip was one of the deacons that they chose when there was trouble in the church. But Philip was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. Philip, because they would look for men that were spirit-filled, men of good character, and men of wisdom. So Philip had all those qualities. And Philip didn't go there in his own power and began to preach. He was preaching under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus told the disciples, wait in Jerusalem until you are endowed with power. From where? From on high. Until you receive the power that will give you the grace to manifest my power. Wait for power to manifest power. Because you cannot manifest power without power. In the kingdom, I'm talking in the kingdom now. In the kingdom, we need power to manifest power. So Philip was a spirit-filled man, and he went down. And now, when he began to speak, what happened? People began to listen. Sometimes we see question and we say, who's going to listen to you? You know, when I started preaching as a young man, I always want to know, why people come and listen to me preach? I would always say that to you guys. I don't know why people came. But it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by the Spirit of God. It is not by my eloquence. Paul said, we didn't come with eloquent word. But we came with power and demonstration. We came to demonstrate because that's the difference. Oh my God. When Paul, is it Paul Olson? No, not Paul Olson. The name is slipping me. He went to India as a young missionary. And when he got to India, him and his wife, they packed up. T.L. Osborne, they went to India. And they got excited. They heard about the harvest there. And they went down to India. But when they got there and they're speaking to the Muslims and they talk about Jesus, the Muslims say, I believe in Jesus. He's a prophet. He's a good man. We believe he's even coming back. And they could not have converted anyone. Because when they say something, the people say something. When they talk about Jesus, they believe in Jesus too. So they came back home, they packed their bags, and they said, we're going back home. We need something else. They said, we need something else. They came back home, and they hungered for God. They hungered for an encounter. And every time they were about to go see an evangelist that moved in the power of God, they died. Every time they were going to go see someone, the person died. They were going to go see the person that founded the Four Square Church. I can't remember her name right now. Amy McPherson. When they were about to see Amy McPherson died. They were going to go see another one, then the man died. And they were like, oh God, what's going on? What's going on here? But then they encountered a man by the name of Branham. Branham came to L.A. and Branham did, to Oregon, and Branham did a crusade. And they said they saw God in a man. They saw God in a man because he was so simple and he preached a simple gospel. But when it was time for the sick to be healed, everyone that came up got healed. Everyone that was demon possessed got delivered. They said a hunchback man came up. He was like this. And Branham said, I speak to that spirit of infirmity. Loose his back. All of a sudden, the man straight up and the man left. Kids came in the wheelchair and what? They walked out of the wheelchair. Why? Because the man had what they needed. And they said, that's what we need. We need power. We need power. I want to tell you, church, it is good to preach, but there's something else that follows our preaching. demonstration of the power of God. When someone walks into a house and they're demon possessed and they get delivered, they could never question the power of Jesus ever again. When someone comes with a sickness and you pray for them and they get delivered and they get healed, they can never question the power of God. So man, T.L. Osborne, he came home. They met Branham and then he said, Lord, I want an encounter with you. He didn't want the encounter with Branham. He wanted an encounter with Jesus. He saw God in a man and he said, I want God in me. And he went home and he prayed and he hungered. And he said at 6 a.m., Jesus walked in his room. Jesus walked into his room. And from 6 a.m. all the way to 2 p.m., he was laying on his face, transacting business with the King of Kings and with the Lord of Lords, receiving an impartation. The same man that came home afraid, disgusted and broken from India, he said, baby, it is time for us to go to India again. So he said, when he talked about Jesus, they spoke about Jesus. But he said, here, bring me a deaf man. You open his ears or I'll pray and open his ears. He said, when he prayed and the deaf heard and the blind see and the dumb spoke and the lame walk, everybody turned to Jesus because they could not have doubted the power of the living King. All of us sitting in this room got authority, but we need power. Every child of God has authority, but you need the dunamis of God to work the miraculous of God. When Brother Philip went down to Samaria, he didn't go down there with eloquence. He went down with power. Give me the next verse. Verse 7 says, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice. You know, you could have a demon sitting in church. If there's no anointing, the demon be very comfortable. Yes. You could go for altar calls and they say, oh, okay, let's just pray with you. And they pray with you. And you come up depressed and you go back home with your depression. They say, oh, let us pray with you. And the demon that is having sex with you at night, you go back home and the demon is still tearing you apart. But when you come on the anointing and you come on the power and you come to the altar and we lay our hands on you, the demons start to jolt because demons cannot stand the presence. It says, for unclean spirit, there is a clean spirit who's the Holy Spirit, but then there are unclean spirits cried with a loud voice and came out of many who were possessed, who are being controlled, who are being manipulated by the demonic realm. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. I want to tell you, cry out for power. Hunger and thirst for power. I said hunger and thirst for power because it is the kingdom's way. I said it is the kingdom's way. It is okay to be saved. It's okay to go to heaven. But on the way to heaven, wouldn't you like to deliver somebody and take them with you? Wouldn't you like to be able to snatch somebody out that is being controlled and manipulated by addiction? And you can pray for them and the addiction goes and they live a fulfilling, prosperous life. I want to tell you, church, it is time for us to prosper in the Holy Ghost. It's time for us to prosper with the gifts of the Spirit. It's time for us to prosper with the word of wisdom. It's time for us to prosper with the word of knowledge. It's time for us to prosper with the laying of hands and the sick recovering. It's time for us to prosper in the Spirit. Yo, my God, it doesn't matter what dart the enemy throws at you, knowing that if God is for you, who can be against you? Who can be against you? But this gospel is a gospel of power and demonstration. Don't be afraid of demonstrations. Sometimes we want church to be very polished, but can I tell you that's going out of style? People had enough. We had 30 years of the church being prim and proper. And the pastors look very dapper. And everybody go home depressed. And everybody's looking for some self-help stuff when Jesus came to set the captive free. Everybody's looking for 3 steps of freedom when Jesus said, you shall lay hands on the sick and you shall see them recover. You shall cast out demons. Oh, but that's too freaky for me. You better believe the same freaky devil is coming for you. And he's coming for you in many ways. He's coming through the TV screen. He's coming through your phone. He's coming through phone calls. He's coming through dreams. But my God, we know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight people, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of every stronghold. I want to tell the church, prosper in the Holy Ghost. Prosper in the Spirit. Cry out for God. Hunger for God. And if you meet anyone that was ever demon-possessed, they will tell you how manipulated they were. Have conversations. Seek out somebody. Say, hey, you know anybody that got delivered? Talk to them. They'll tell you what chaos they were in. What chaos. But Jesus came and he set them free. Most times deliverance don't happen by Jesus showing up in nobody's room. No, they come to the church and the pastor lays his hand on them and the power transfer, or they encounter someone that is walking in the spirit outside of the clergy, and they encounter a Holy Ghost filled person on their job. I want to have all of you be Holy Ghost filled, and when you go to the workplace, man, you're delivering people. Hello? You don't have to have manifestation, because you could command the demon to shut up and be quiet. That's when your authority increase, the power increase upon your life. You say, come out in Jesus. Demon gone. So there are times there might be someone who want to behave a little funny, but there are times you could just speak and someone get delivered. Spirit of oppression that are just oppressing people. You speak the word of God over them, and you say, in the name of Jesus. You know, you see some people and you look in their eyes and you see that they're going through a lot. All they need is someone to come alongside them and pray for them and liberate. And Jesus said, I send you to set the captive what? Free. Set the captive free. That means somebody that is held by something, you release them. Simple as that. Someone that is in bondage, you cut the bondage in the name of Jesus, and you set them free. Let's look at the result of this. Next verse. And it says, and there was what? There was what? When the devil goes, what comes? Joy. When sickness goes, what comes? Joy. When brokenness goes, what comes? Joy. I want to tell you, you and I are joy carriers. We got the pill for the depressed world. It is Jesus. It is the oil of gladness. My God, listen, you weren't anointed with lemon juice. Jesus has given you the oil of gladness. So when you go out, you could smile with someone. They're like, you freaky. Oh, yeah, I'm freaky. I'm freaky, joyful. You know, people want to ask you, why are you so happy? Because what? There's a joy on the inside. The Bible said there's a river that makes glad. There's a river that what? Makes glad the city of God. So if you're in the city of God, you can expect to be glad. Hello? I say it again. If you're a child of God, you should be glad. You shouldn't be sad. You should be. It don't matter what the devil throw your way, smile. Keep your head up. I said keep your head up. Keep your head up. Prosper. Let it show on your face. Let it move from your spirit and show on your face that you can become a holy magnet where somebody is drawn to you, and then you can release the truth to them and you can bring life to them. So what came to the city? All right, three people got it. What came to the city? Let's read it together. And there was what? Let's back up. There was great persecution. The Bible tells us God promised. He said what was meant for evil, God turns it around for good. So it moved from great persecution to great liberation, great joy, great hope, great peace. My God, great laughter. My God. That is a God, yes, sir. So if today you are facing something that seems like a mountain in your life and you think that you're going to go under, I want to tell you, God will cause you to have great joy. I say, God will cause you to have great joy. I say it again. God will cause you to have great joy. But you got to prosper in the spirit. You got to prosper in the spirit. Because when you prosper in the spirit, it then moves, because now you have a transformed mind. It moves to your mind. You got to have a can-do mindset. If the church caved under persecution and said, we're packing up our bags, we can't do nothing here. You know what happened to the people of Samaria? They would have still been controlled by the man by the name of Simeon. Simeon was a sorcerer. He had great power. He could do amazing things. But when they were scattered, great persecution, they went forth with great power, and they brought what to that city? Great joy.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged your hearts. We also want to say a special thank you to our faithful givers and partners. It's because of your generosity that the vision moves forward. If you would like to partner with us, please visit faithchurch.life/give. On Sundays, we have our Sunday services at 10 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So join us there. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss another sermon again. I'm Emily. Let's faith it forward.